Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Says not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together shows that there is a danger of the very thing that he warns against, the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. It's nice when there are assemblies that are a real testimony as to assembling themselves together. What an encouragement it is to go into a place. I've had an experience, rather limited, of visiting a gathering and being at the prayer meeting when practically all the saints were at the prayer meeting. Well, what a real testimony that is, and a testimony to other meetings. So at the time the apostle was writing, I judged that there were certain assemblies that were characterized by faithfulness in assembling themselves together.
I believe when there's just a few, sometimes it's a little discouraging, but can't we always count on the Lord's blessing when his presence is there? So in the last days, it might be more so, just twos and threes. And so the enemy would like to wear us out, discourage us. And so we need this exhortation, don't we?
Yes, and bless you.
For all who come to be with the Lord in the midst. And if there's absence from the meeting where the Lord is in the midst, there's a missing of blessings. Let's remember that. Every time we miss being in the Lord's presence, collectively, we miss a blessing. And some of us have had the experience of being down, discouraged, and heavy-hearted, And we come to the prayer meeting, and we find that the Lord lifts us up in spirit. It's the Lord that does it, but you have to be in His presence to get the blessing. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get blessing when we're in the presence of the Lord individually. And I suppose we get the individual brought before us in verse 24. And we can be a help to one another individually outside the assembly. But we get the assembly too. And so we must be going on with one another individually, but going on with one another in the assembly to get blessing both ways. And if we're not there where the Lord is in the midst, we miss the blessing. And if it's missed, it's missed forever. Because I find that in the assembly, things don't always come out the same way every time. We're not, if we're going on with the Lord in the assembly, we're not in a rut, as it were, and things go the same way every time. And things come out sometimes in a reading meeting or in the prayer meeting that will never be repeated again. And if we've missed the meeting, we've missed it.
In the Gospel of John, a very precious verse there in connection with the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. The John Gospel chapter 11 verse 44, it says that he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot and grave clothes, and his face was bound about with napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And I understand some brethren, they have mentioned this verse in connection with loosing the grave clothes by being there special, in particular that the Bible reckons, where we read the, together the Word of God, and many things that they are in our life, they'll be taken away, they'll be loosed. And I was thinking, what a wonderful encouragement in these last days that the Lord Jesus reduced the number, the plurality, to two or three. Why? Because he knew just what was going to take place in the last day, that those that like to walk in obedience to the Word of God will be reduced to a small number. And what a wonderful encouragement to know that he is in the midst of them.
Now the latter part of this verse, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching, we should be interested in coming together over the word, in respect to that coming day, the day that's approaching. And I got a hold of this precious truth many years ago, that here and now our capacity is being for or enjoying Christ eternally. And I don't know of a better place to have our capacity enlarged than in the reading meeting. It's wonderful to be with the Lord privately too, but we need this corporate fellowship and help in the things of the Lord. Well, you say I don't get very much in going to the reading meeting. Well, take a look at Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. You're going to get a little if you come. If you don't come, you get nothing. Isaiah 28, 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And I think that comes in line with what we had this morning, the washing of the water by the word, Ephesians 5 and 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's one of the outstanding aspects of the reading meeting. We're cleansed, we're washed by the water of the word. We need it. I need it. Pardon?
I was just asking the question, what was the day approaching that we refer to here?
It certainly can be applied to the coming of the Lord. That's the day that we look for. That's what our hope is. And I believe that that's the primary thought in it. Although we do have in the Epistle to the Hebrews a double application of things. In the end of the ninth chapter, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? But I believe primarily it's what we look for, the coming of the Lord. The manifestation takes place when, at the appearing. But I think there's something nice for us to think of in connecting these two verses, verses 24 and 25 together. I believe we should come to the meeting to give, not just to get. It is a blessed privilege to come and be in the Lord's presence, and we do get something. But I believe the verse before shows that our purpose in coming should be to give. So that if each one of us came to the meeting thinking, well, how can I help my brothers and sisters in Christ to go on to the Lord, then there would be a real blessing in coming together. So it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then it's part of the same sentence, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So Peter, writing to the elders, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. And then in the 20th chapter of Acts, Paul is exhorting the elders at Ephesus, and he encourages them to feed the flock of God. Tells us in Timothy, too, that the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and out of faith unfeigned. And I do believe that it's very important for us to come together seeking the good of others and the encouragement and blessing of others. In doing this, we get a blessing for ourselves. But how often, if we come to the meeting expecting to receive something, we might be disappointed. Of course, if we're there because the Lord is there, we'll be glad we came. But it's quite possible that we might come to the meeting looking for something and be disappointed. But, oh, if we come there thinking, well, these saints are dear to the heart of God, they're the excellent of the earth, perhaps my going there will be a help and an encouragement to some other person, then the coming together will be a blessing. No, it's just like a fire, you know. You have one log on a fire, it gets down pretty much. But it takes a very small other piece thrown on top of it to get the fire going. You know, you might say, well, I don't contribute very much, but we often notice that you can have a great big log in the fire and it'll go down. And then you put a couple of small sticks on top of it and the whole fire goes off just so nicely. Well, those two sticks helped the other and the whole thing went so much better. So let's come together with love for our brethren, because this, which we have noticed here, faith, hope, and love, manifests itself in love to one another. He that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
I think that there is a special importance in so much the more as you see the day approaching. There never was a time in the history of the church when there's so much evidence of apostasy creeping in. And as we see more and more, those who were once sound maybe in the principles of the gospel and the word of God, we see more and more they're giving it up. The tendency is to give up in these days. Even the word of God is, the Bible is being corrupted, and we see groups of Christians where they once stood firm and sound as to the person of Christ, and now that's given up. The virgin birth of Christ as more and more being given up in Christendom. Well, we're approaching a time that is not far distant when there's going to be a complete apostasy of Christendom. But, of course, that cannot take place until the Lord comes in the air and takes every true believer out of the scene to the Father's house. And then there'll be a great mass of profession in Christendom which will completely give up the truths that have formed this Christian testimony here on the earth. And as we see that creeping in, that spirit of compromise and giving up this truth and that truth may be in line with what Brother Smith was speaking about this afternoon and going on in the place where the Lord has put his name saying that one place is as good as another.